The OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin, and this podcast is available, as always, at MMAOddsBreaker.com and over on our YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. So, got quite a good show for you today, guys. A lot of news to talk about. Bunch of fight announcements. First thing I wanted to mention, though, is I want to give some props to Nick Kalikas, my boss over at MMAOddsBreaker.com, the man known as Fight Odds. I got to give Nick props, man. He's working with the UFC now. He'll be doing the show, I think it's called UFC on the Line, with Johnny the Greek and Brendan Fitzgerald. So, man, I'm really happy for Nick. Congrats, Nick. Seriously, man, you deserve it, and it's great. And I've heard Dana White really liked what Nick was doing. I saw him actually, I think he was tweeting and Instagramming with Nick's name on it. So that's amazing for Nick. So congrats, Nick. And I hope everything goes well over there with the podcast with those guys. And so far, so good, definitely. And that's available on Fight Pass if you guys want to watch it. Nick does a great job with Brendan and Johnny. So definitely check that out if you're into gambling. And if you're watching this podcast, you probably are into the betting side of MMA. So definitely check that out. Okay, so let's get into today's show. First thing I want to talk about, Paulo Costa. He's a guest fighter this weekend at UFC 243, and he had some choice words to say about Israel Adesanya. So they've been going back and forth, obviously. Paulo Costa is the number one contender. Adesanya is fighting Whitaker tomorrow night for the title, the undisputed belt. And if Adesanya wins, Costa is likely next in line. So they've been going back and forth. Adesanya had some words for Costa, calling him like a blown-up stuffed animal, which I thought was hilarious. And Costa called him a skinny clown. And now Costa says that he wants to break Adesanya's face. And he says he wants Adesanya to be the first kill on his MMA record. So some very pointed words here from Paulo Costa towards Adesanya. But I love it. I mean, it's the fight game. So you're not going to be nice to each other. These guys want to hurt each other. Great. I mean, I think it's going to make for an amazing fight. So obviously Adesanya has to get by Whitaker tomorrow. That is not an easy task. And everything we've seen from Robert Whitaker this week, this guy is insanely focused for this fight. So do not count on Robert Whitaker. I just looked at the betting line in the morning. Adesanya is actually the small favorite now, minus 120, and Whitaker's plus 100. So he's actually a small underdog now, Robert Whitaker. It's basically a pick 'em all week. Now it's kind of shifted in Adesanya's favor. So most people think he's going to win the fight. We'll see what happens, obviously. But if Adesanya does win, I expect him to fight Paulo Costa next. Although, according to Adesanya, he wants to move up and fight John Jones or Stipe Miocic. But for now, I do think Costa's next in line. And obviously, the way they're going back and forth, that's a fight everyone's going to want to watch. So Costa's got some choice words for Adesanya, and Adesanya's got some choice words for him. So it's going to be a good fight if it happens. Ally Quinta, he's fighting Dan Hooker tomorrow night. I thought this was hilarious. Just want to mention this quickly. He was interviewed, and apparently Dan Hooker is also a real estate agent. We all know that Ally Quinta is a real estate agent in Long Island. Apparently Dan Hooker is in New Zealand. And I think it was John Morgan interviewing Ally Quinta, just asking about it. And Ally Quinta says, I want to beat him to prove the better fighter is, but I also want to beat him to prove who the better real estate agent is, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. And that fight is a fantastic matchup. That's definitely the second best fight in the card, obviously, besides the main event. That's an incredible fight. So I love this Hooker Ally Quinta matchup. Right now, Hooker's plus 145 underdog, so that's very interesting there. Ally Quinta is underdog, plus 145, and I think he could win the fight. That was my pick on the podcast. Cole Sheldon picked him as well, so very interesting fight there, and I just wanted to mention that anecdote. I thought it was really funny. Frank Lesser's back in the news. That's the former striking coach at Jackson Wink. He's going after John Jones again. He still believes John Jones owes him like $20,000, and he said that it was kind of funny too. John Jones only practices stone. He said they were all smoking blunts and practicing after, which I thought was funny. Listen, like, he's not the only athlete that smokes weed. You know, we all know John Jones does smoke weed. I don't think that's a secret. There's a lot of fighters that smoke weed. Not only that, but there's a lot of athletes that smoke weed. You know, obviously I do bowling, and that's not even close to what these fighters do. And I think that, honestly, I think MMA fighters should be able to smoke whenever they want, because I feel like it could really help them with relief from pain and just to relax. But I know in bowling, like, most of the top guys I bowl with smoke weed, so I especially before they practice too. So it's not even like an MMA thing. I think it's just in all sports. NFL players smoke, baseball players, everyone smokes. So this guy saying that, it's funny, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's like he's not the only one who smokes weed. So yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a secret again that John Jones does smoke pot, and again, a lot of fighters do. I mean, Sergio or Anthony Pettis a few weeks ago, when he fought Nate Diaz, he said, after the fight, I want to smoke a blunt with Nate Diaz. We all know Nate Diaz smokes. So this is not a secret. I thought it was funny though, so I want to mention it. But you know, if this is what the guy is kind of go after John Jones about, like, he's not really going to make any fans, because I think a lot of fans just don't really care about this. So I thought it was kind of funny, but it's not really something you can, like, if he's trying to hurt John Jones' reputation by saying he smokes weed before he practices, I don't really think it's going to hurt him. In fact, it actually might make Frank Lester look kind of dumb when he says that kind of thing. But anyways, we'll see what happens with those two guys. Abraham Kalwa, he says that John Jones doesn't owe him any money. He says this is just like a big miscommunication or something. So we'll see what happens with these two guys. But I expect them to keep having their little war of words in the media. But eventually, I think John Jones will come out on top because he's the more popular guy. No one really even knows who Frank Lester is. I feel bad for this dude. If he really is owed money, that sucks. But it looks like he's going to start his own camp, and I'm sure he'll do really well for himself. But yeah, I thought this was kind of funny, but definitely not even really a story of anything, because I think a lot of people smoke weed, and I don't think they really care if John Jones does. Wanderlei Silva wants to fight Vitor Belfort. He wants to fight him in bare knuckle. I thought this was also kind of funny. Two guys that are way at the tail ends of their career. Wanderlei Silva was recently released by Bellator. He signed with bare knuckle fighting. Vitor Belfort, I believe, is one championships roster, so I don't know if he's going to be able to fight in bare knuckle, but it is kind of funny that Wanderlei wants him. These guys obviously have been rivals for a long time. They fought many, many years ago. A crazy blitz by Belfort over Silva. That was one of the greatest knockouts in UFC history. I'm pretty sure Belfort was in the Jesus juice for that one. Definitely wasn't. If you look at, remember that fight, guys, I mean, let's be honest, Vitor Belfort was on steroids for that fight. So I don't think that's a secret saying that either. But I'm sure Wanderlei wasn't innocent as well. But either way, everyone remembers that crazy knockout. I think it was like UFC 10 or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but long time ago, 20 years ago, 98, I believe. So yeah, these guys want to fight each other now. Sure, I'd watch the fight. I mean, why not? Like, it's not like bare knuckle can do any worse. They're doing freaking Bigfoot Silva against Gabriel Gonzaga. So, you know, they've already stooped pretty low. They've signed, I think, Alexander Emelianenko as well. And obviously he has a lot of issues too. So I don't think they can stoop any lower. I think Wanderlei versus Vitor Belfort makes a lot of sense for that promotion. But again, Vitor Belfort, I believe, is under contract with one championship. So I think he'll probably fight there, but we'll see. I mean, maybe they can co-promote and do the bare knuckle thing. I'm not too sure. We'll see what happens. Speaking about the Japanese or Asian promotions, I should say, Ryzen was asked about Sergio Pettis. Tom Taylor over at BJPen interviewed Ryzen's president there and Asaka Karaba, and was asked about Sergio Pettis, and he said, yes, we are interested in talking to Sergio, and we are talking to Sergio, and they want to sign him to fight maybe Horiguchi. I think that's great. So I actually think Pettis would make a lot of sense in that Ryzen roster. There's a lot of smaller guys in Japan, obviously, in that division. Horiguchi versus Pettis is a great fight. I still feel like Pettis will probably end up back in the UFC. I think the cooler heads will prevail. He'll get the money he wants, and the UFC will pay him what he wants. He's one of the best flyweights in the world, but it's definitely worth, you know, going out there and seeing what your value is on the free agent market. So I think it's a great move by Sergio Pettis to do that. Ryzen is a good home for him. One would be a good home as well, but I feel like eventually he will end up back in the UFC. But let's get the fight announcements right now, and I'm going to start with this one here because Sergio Pettis was removed from UFC 245. He was supposed to fight Kaikara France. That fight's not happening. And now Brandon Moreno is going to fight Kaikara France. So that's a great fight. I love this matchup. You know, it sucks for Pettis. He won't be getting this fight, but I think Kaikara France versus Moreno is an amazing fight. Great matchup. So Kaikara France, 27-1 no contest. He's actually on an 8-fight win streak right now. This guy's looked great in the UFC. 3 straight wins over Mark De La Rosa, Rolian Paiva, and Lys Garcia. Very fun fighter to watch, very exciting fighter. It's actually kind of a shame he's not fighting tomorrow night because he's a New Zealand guy. I'm sure he'll be in attendance for that fight, but yeah, it's a shame he's not fighting. I think he would have got a crazy pop in the crowd. Very exciting fighter. I think he's kind of a dark horse in that flyweight division. Not a guy he's talked about that much, but a very good fighter and very young too. He's only 26 years old. And speaking about young, Brandon Moreno, his opponent, UFC 245, only 25 years old, the baby assassin, coming off a great fight with Askar Askarov, a split draw. It was not a split decision. He should have won the fight. I think most of us agree with that. And I feel like because most people thought he won the fight, that's why the UFC is giving him a guy like Kaikara France, who's coming off a couple wins. I'm not sure if they're going to do with Askarov. They might kind of book him based on the fact that they think he lost the fight, or they might give him some off a win. When you have a draw, you can kind of do it whatever. But I want to see that rematch, to be honest with you. Moreno Askarov 2 would have been a great fight, but I can see why they're going to do different fights here. So I'm not sure who Askarov's going to fight. I'm assuming he'll probably fight on that Russian card in early 2020, the one Habib's on. But for now, Moreno's going to be fighting Kaikara France. And Moreno, like I said, is coming off a draw with Askarov, but it was a great fight. He could have easily won the fight. Overall in the UFC, he's just 3-2-1 draw, but he's still a very, very good fighter. He's got some good wins. Dustin Ortiz, Luis Smolka, Ryan Benoit, lost to Pettis, lost to Pantoja, but a very good fighter, very exciting fighter. I think you have to favor Moreno a little bit against Cara France because he's just more experienced, but don't write off Cara France. The guy's a good fighter, and this should be an excellent fight. I really like the matchmaking here. Again, I would have liked to see Pettis versus Cara France, but you know what? That's not going to happen now. Pettis is a free agent. He's doing his thing, and I think this is a great replacement fight. So Moreno versus Cara France at UFC 245. That card's amazing. I'm going to be at that card. I can't wait for that card. UFC Sao Paulo gets a couple fights here. Ricardo Ramos is moving up to the UFC featherweight division to take on Luis Eduardo Garrigori. So interesting matchup here. Ricardo Ramos, he's had some good wins in the UFC for sure. Only 24 years old, very young. So I'm a little surprised he's moving up, but I guess he's having problems cutting weight. That's the only guess I can have. Also, that fight is next month. So maybe he's like, you know, I can't cut all that weight on 6 weeks' notice. He's looked really good in the UFC, 4-1 record, coming off a win over Jermaine Newsom in his last fight on the JDS Nagano card. He has that really good win over Ayman Zahabi by knocking on the GSP Michael Bisping card, which was an incredible finish. So this guy is a pretty good fighter. So I got some really good finishes in his UFC career. Also, the actually, that's his only finish, but he has some good wins. Like, Kyung-ho Kang is a good win. Tanaka is not a bad win either. He did lose to Saeed Nurmagomedov, but overall, very good fighter. Takes on Luis Eduardo Garrigori. He is the UFC's lone Uruguayan fighter. He's coming off a win over Humberto Bandone by decision, 13-0. He looked good against Bandone, but Bandone is not even close to Ramos. Again, Ramos is moving up in weight, so you never know how that's going to work out, but he's 6 years younger. He has more experience in the UFC, and I've just been more impressed with him. So I would favor Ramos in this fight, but definitely an interesting fight. And one other fight at UFC Sao Paulo. I don't understand this matchup at all. This one was a real head-scratcher when I saw it. Charles Oliveira will be taking on Jared Gordon. I don't get the matchmaking here. I mean, why is Oliveira fighting a guy way lower than him? Doesn't make sense. Maybe people don't want to fight DuBronx. I guess that would be it. But he's on a five-fight win streak right now. He's finished all five of his last opponents. Nick Lentz by knockout, David Tamer, Jim Miller, Christos Gagos, and Clay Guida by submission. He had that knockout loss to Paul Felder before that submission win over Will Brooks. So he's won six of his last seven fights by stoppage. So weird matchmaking here because Jared Gordon is really struggling in the UFC. He's 3-2, but he's only 1-2 in his last three fights. And he had got knocked out by Joaquin Silva and Carlos Diego Ferreira, and he won a decision over Dan Moret, but Dan Moret's like, I don't even think he's on the roster anymore. So very strange matchmaking here. I like Jared Gordon. He's got a good story, former drug addict turned MMA fighter, and he's just a very seems like a really like genuine guy who's kind of like pushing that, you know, don't do drugs and just, you know, chase your dreams in life kind of thing. And I love that, but I don't understand the matchmaking here. And honestly, I don't like this matchup for Jared Gordon, even though he hasn't been submitted before. Charles Oliveira can submit anyone. I like Charles Oliveira a lot in this fight. He should be a massive favorite to win this fight. Again, I don't understand the matchmaking here. Charles Oliveira should be fighting at someone in the top 10, not someone ranked, not even ranked. And honestly, Jared Gordon, again, I don't even think he's like a top 25 guy. He's like a top 50 guy, maybe. Very, very weird matchmaking here. Don't understand it, to be honest with you. It's just a little weird, but I guess no one wanted to fight Oliveira. That's the only guess I could have. One other UFC fight to mention here. Muslim Salikov will be taking on Laureano Staropoli at UFC Singapore. So that card had lost some fights, and they've been adding some more to it. That's only a couple weeks from now. So Muslim Salikov, he's looked pretty good in the UFC, 2-1 record. Back-to-back knockout wins over Nordin Taleb, Ricky Rading, lost to Alex Garcia by submission. But, man, that Taleb win a few weeks ago at UFC 242, that was just a brutal knockout win. And it just showed how much potential this guy does have. I know he's a little bit older. He's 35, but, man, he's good. He's got a lot of knockout power. He's got that grappling background. So this guy's a pretty good fighter, and I'm curious to see how he looks in this fight against Staropoli, who's a really good prospect coming off a win over Thiago Alves in Brazil. I was at that fight, UFC 237. He looked good in that fight. Also beat Hector Aldana in his UFC debut, and I think it was fight of night, 26 years old, 9-1 record in his career. This guy's a very solid fighter, really good striking. So tough fight to call here, but I mean – I don't know, honestly. Like, Staropoli's a lot younger, so I think you got to give him a little bit of an advantage here. But Salikov's very dangerous with striking, so a very close fight, kind of a coin flip, to be honest with you. But I guess if I had to choose someone, I'd lean a little towards Staropoli. But again, that fight's a few weeks away. I'll have a little bit of time to decide who I'm going to pick before that happens. And a couple fights are Bellator Hawaii here. As we all know, AJ McKee will be fighting Derek Campo. So I love this fight. You know, I'm surprised Campo chose McKee. He could have really chosen pretty much anyone, and he chose McKee. So I mean, credit to this guy. No one wants to fight McKee. He's incredible. 15-0. Started his MMA career as a pro in 2015. 15-0, all of his fights at Bellator. Back-to-back wins now over Pat Curran and Jordan Kerryhanen. Those are two big wins. So AJ McKee, very good fighter, very exciting fighter. Derek Campos, he's been up and down in Bellator. For the most part, he's kind of like win-loss. But lately, he's, you know, coming off that win over Strauss and snapped that three-fight losing streak he had. So that was a big win for him. You know, I think that this guy can be knocked out. He's been knocked out quite a few times. I think McKee definitely wins this fight. So I have to fear McKee, but it should be an exciting fight, though, at least. I think Campos will bring the fight to McKee, and someone's probably going to finish there. I think it would probably be Campos. And the other fight, and again, another head-scratcher here, Alima Leigh McFarlane will be taking on Kate Jackson. Just, again, it's I know that they want Alima Leigh to fight on that card, and I get it. You know, she's obviously Hawaiian, and she's popular. She's a really good fighter. But Kate Jackson, really? Like, this is their opponent? I think a lot of people thought it would be Juliana Velasquez that would be next in line. I don't know if maybe her timetable didn't match up or something like that. Like, it's just a little strange that they're doing Kate Jackson, because Velasquez, 9-0 record, she looked like the clear-cut number one contender, four straight wins at Bellator. But instead, McFarlane will be fighting Kate Jackson. She is coming off two wins, and she's 3-1 in Bellator overall, but, you know, she lost to Valerie Letourneau, and she beat Colleen Schneider, Anastasia Yankova, and Lena Ovchinnikova. So, I mean, let's be honest, those last, like, Yankova does have a name, I guess, but the last fighter she beat doesn't, I don't even know who that is. So this is kind of weird to me. This woman does have some experience. She was on the Ultimate Fighter. She lost to Tatiana Suarez. She beat Ashley Yoder. She also lost to Joanna Jędrzejczyk in the European regional scene. So she does have experience, but let's be honest here, guys. This is a mismatch, and Alima Leigh is going to win this fight. 10-0, 9-0 in Bellator, coming off a good win over Veda Arteaga. A lot of people actually thought that there could be a rematch in that fight. So, again, this is kind of a surprising booking, but they wanted to get Alima Leigh in that card, and I guess Kay Jackson was the only fighter available. And I should mention, I have no idea what's going to happen with BJ Penn. I know I read for his website, but we don't know anything about BJ there and what's going on with him. But I have to guess that he will be signed for this card. That'd be my guess. Rich Child's his friend. Rich Child's the matchmaker. Scott Coker likes BJ Penn. BJ's Hawaiian. It just makes a lot of sense. So the UFC just released him in time for this card. You know, it writes itself. So I expect BJ Penn to be in this card. Don't know who he's going to fight, but I would definitely expect him to be signed very soon and to be put on the UFC, or excuse me, the Bellator Hawaii card. Shame the UFC hasn't gone to Hawaii yet. It really is, but Bellator is, you know, they go there all the time, and it's great. All right, I think that's it for today's show, guys. I really appreciate you tuning in once again for the podcast. And happy Friday, everyone. You know, we got the weekend coming up here tonight, Bellator 229. Over at maoddsbreaker.com, you can check out my opening odds reactions. I also broke down the card yesterday on the podcast, so definitely check that out. And UFC 243, that'll be tomorrow night in Australia. I can't wait for that card. I know you guys are excited for it too. That main event, unbelievable. Great fight. Opening odds reactions over at Bellator. Full podcast breakdown with Cole Sheldon on Tuesday. Check it out at maoddsbreaker.com on our YouTube channel. And also the main event breakdown, I sent that in to Brian Heminger, so that should be posted today, I would expect. So definitely read my breakdown if you want to check out some more insight into that fight between Adesanya and Whitaker for the UFC Undisputed Middleweight Championship. Again, you guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. And this podcast is available at MMAoddsbreaker.com. And you guys can check me out at BJPenn.com and MMAratings.net. And also MMAratings.net, quickly mentioned that I have an article about the main event and why it could be the best middleweight title fight of all time. So definitely check that out. I appreciate that, guys. Thank you again for the support. Everyone have a good weekend. I'll be back Monday breaking down what happened at UFC 243 and Bellator 229. Guys, have a great weekend. I'll be back Monday. Have a good one. See ya. Bye.